When it comes to connecting with other members of his generation, one guy who does not struggle is comedian Marc Maron. He puts out a podcast. It's called WTF. Guess what that stands for? And it's one of the most popular ones out there. Here's how he describes it.
I basically talk in my garage alone for about 10 minutes about whatever's on my mind. And then I'll have a peer or a comedian or a writer or somebody I kind of know come to my garage and sit down and talk to me, usually for around an hour.
Now, if you're not quite hearing the appeal, all I can say is just give the show a listen. Plenty of influential people in the entertainment industry do. And that's because a lot of the big names that Maron has on, people like Robin Williams or Ray Romano, they really open up to him about their depression or their drug use, things they don't normally talk about in public. Filmmaker Judd Apatow says Maron's guests open up to him because they feel like he might lose the tape on the way home or that maybe no one's listening. But more than 200,000 people download the podcast each week. And why?
Because I think that I show up for the interview. A lot of times, if you listen to somebody, you no longer really know that there are mics there, and people want to be heard. They want to share this stuff. So much of what we experience in a very real emotional way, we don't let out because all of our energy goes into getting by. And these are inner dialogues and feelings that just get stuffed, and comics want to talk about it.
What do you consider the kind of like the best moment with a guest, like a breakthrough?
What I like is that I've known a lot of these people for 20 years, and I swear to you, I've never had more than a 10-minute conversation with them. A lot of those things happen on the podcast where, you know, I literally find out things about people, and I'm surprised. Like Bob Odenkirk, I had no idea, you know, how much, you know, rage he carried inside him and how personally he got about that. Robin Williams, you know, even Ira Glass. I mean, I only knew him from This American Life, but I felt like I knew him. And then you talk to them and you're like, oh, my God, it was great getting to know you. And I'm sorry you had to go through that, or thanks for sharing that, or wow, you know, we're both different people now that we've had that conversation.
You found out that Ira was a very violent guy, actually.
He almost killed me.
Yeah.
I mean, he chased me out of there with a mic stand, yelling, and I'm in the street. I didn't know whether to call the police. Very surprising.
He's a street fighter. It sounds almost like you're kind of a therapist in a way for some of these people.
And for myself, I don't know. You know, I've been thinking a lot about that assessment of what I'm doing. And what I think, honestly, is that one of the things that has been lost in this culture is the ability for people to sit and talk for real. You know, for an hour. I mean, really, when was the last time you just sat and talked to someone for an hour? Mm. I mean, it's something that people can do. Is that therapy, or is it just some sort of human pastime that has become lost? I don't know. But I think that what's happened to me personally from listening and talking to my peers, I feel like I'm living more in the present. You know, I have more humility about myself and my problems in terms of finding that they're not unusual. So if it's been therapy for anybody, it's probably for me.
You go to some pretty dark places with these really well-known comics, and I guess I'm wondering, it's like the perennial question, like, why do you think that you have to have some of that to be a good comic?
I think that the better comics have a certain courage and depth around their pain. I would say yes, on some level. I would say there are plenty of comics that don't have difficult or horrendous pasts, but there's something there if they're good.
Describe where you were in your life when you decided to do the podcast.
I was in trouble. I was in the middle of a divorce. I was, you know, close to broke. You know, my manager at the time said that I was unbookable and nobody wanted to represent me. And I had just been, you know, fired for a third time from Air America, who was once again having money problems. I'd gone back there. What happened was they didn't take our security cards away from us. And we said, look, you know, let's just come in late at night, you know, hijack the studio when no one's here. And let's see what we come up with. And that was the beginning of it.
Does the appeal of the podcast surprise you? I mean, 200,000 downloads a week is a lot of downloads.
Yeah, and I think it's even more now. You know, in this month, I mean, in the first half of the month, we've had 1 million downloads already. And I don't really think about it that much. You know, in my mind, I'm still going out to my garage, and I'm still dealing with myself on the mic and with having a conversation with somebody. I've decided that the struggles that people deal with in their lives and in their minds, more importantly, are really the most important thing and the thing that needs to be addressed. And I get more emails from people literally saying, from people saying, I was going to kill myself. And now I don't feel alone anymore. Hmm. You know, I thought I was the only one that had these feelings. You know, your neurotic rage or your neurotic rants relax me. I'm having some sort of, what's the drug they give to hyperactive people?
Ritalin.
Yeah, I'm having a Ritalin effect on introspective, neurotic people. And I couldn't have hoped for that. And it's very gratifying. It's very moving to me. And I feel like I have a freedom of mind, and I'm finally sort of, you know, living in my own body and grateful to be doing what I'm doing.
That's Mark Maron. You can find his podcast at iTunes or at WTFpod.com. Mark Maron, thank you.
Great to be here. Thanks.
You can hear an extended version of this interview at our podcast this week. It's also on iTunes or at npr.org/weekendATC.